WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive, we had a big week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery moves to Costas, which is why I'm wearing the shirt today. 50 years. We're going to be with Johnny O celebrating that on Friday. Also, on Sunday, my dear friend Rob Santoni from Wise Markets. I have my Wise Markets because we are Wise Conversations. I'm going to have a Wise Crab Cake on Sunday, the signature crab cake on Sunday. We're going to go out. We're going to eat some crabs. We're going to be at store 206. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy would call that Fullerton. Maybe you wouldn't. You might call it Perry Hall. They call it Fullerton, though. Bill Cole is here. He does roofs. He does solar. We talk about all sorts of things here. But we're going to do something different. Usually we argue about politics. You're the one that sort of reeled me into discussing the world's issues and all of that from our friendship. But let's talk football, dude. I mean, you're a football guy. I mean,
I'm still trying to recover.
What's wrong with the Ravens?
I'm still trying to recover. This wound is still fresh. I don't know. Probably unrealistic expectations on our part. You know? I mean,
especially after the injuries, right?
That's what I mean. Like, can all of your available running backs get injured and then you just think you put whoever you want in there and it'll be fine from a team that primarily runs the ball all the time?
On three days' notice, no.
Yeah,
Six weeks from now, they'll be fine. By my birthday, they'll be fine. Now, how they can get to 2-2, that's where we started last week at, oh, man, we're going to win the first, we'll lose to the Chiefs, and then we'll be 9-1, right? All right, well, now what happens? Because they didn't look like a good football team on Monday. Let's start with, they start at the top, which is they really didn't look like a good football team on Monday night.
Well, they did. 14 points into the game, like at that point, you were kind of like, all right, I'm actually going to get to go to bed early. This thing's going to get put to, we came out pretty solid, I thought.
Or in my case, this game's over at 8 o'clock in Vegas. We can roll all night.
Right. some part of me wonders just in the evolution of Lamar is like, does he really understand how important every single game is at this point? If you are a fan long enough, you've been through the seasons where it comes down to that last game and you're, 8-7 or 7-8. No.
It would be 8-8 now because they play 17 games. So now it's 9-8 or 8-9. You can't be 500 in this league anymore. They will not accept mediocrity in the National Football
League. That's weird. But anyway, he hasn't really had that. Where you're sitting there going into the last game of the season, looking back saying, man, if I just would have not fumbled in that first game, we wouldn't even be worried about this one. I don't know that he's had that because the gap has been such that it was not a problem. Now, maybe that's wrong. I don't know.
Home field advantage has been something that they've played for the last couple of years.
Sure. He might not quite get that yet. There's definitely a level of it's right on the border of arrogancy and confidence.
Put the bullseye in your back with the gold shoes. Go ahead, dude.
And I don't know where I sit, right? Like when they show him on the sidelines and he's kind of yucking it up with the coach or whoever and I don't know that that's a terrible thing, right? Like, I don't really think it's helpful for the guy to be sitting there beating himself up on the sideline. Like, shake it off.
Flacco's demeanor either. I was one of those guys that the stone cold Flacco was always, he doesn't care and stuff. And that's where I have media access and I just say, you're wrong. You're just an idiot if you're calling me with that. The other part of Lamar understanding or not caring, I sort of scoff at a little bit of that, but I think there's also, maybe this would be for both of them, pretty unpliable personalities from you know what I'm saying? Like, they are what they are. This kid's never going to take a shot because mom doesn't believe in it. He's never going to be Mr. Charming at the press conference and wow you with his intellect and deep thoughts about the state of, nuclear technology. He's a football player, right? And he's an incredibly gifted special athlete, but I also think he needs some help around him. And I think beating up Lamar this week on short week as we get ready for the Chiefs, where they're probably going to lose. They're expected to lose by everybody, right, this week with a depleted team. The issue now is, where are these tackles? How quickly can they get the running backs going? Okay, fine, you're going to lose to the Chiefs, but you better beat Detroit. You better go out to Denver and beat an upstart team there, or you're going to be 1-3. And I'm not even conceding this weekend's game, but I'm going to sit here and try to come up with ways they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's going to take some miraculous type of stuff for me, because I don't think they're going to fare well at stopping Mahomes. And I do think that they might pick a ball off or pick two balls off, but I'm real concerned about Kansas City putting 35 up on Sunday night.
I would say it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to do that. I mean, for all the good things we have developing on defense, like when Marcus Peters goes out and you go through all the, you know, sort of different gyrations that come from that, there is someone who cannot run with Tyreek Hill on the field that I'm pretty sure Andy Reid will figure out a way to get Tyreek Hill on that guy.
And well, Darren Waller got 19 targets the other night, right? And Kelsey's better.
And look, say what you want about John Gruden. You know, he's one of them polarizing guys, right? Either hate him or love him. They worked Waller and Renfro, and then we stopped that. And then 83 catches four straight passes to win the game for him, right? Oh, and then Zay Jones at the very end, right? Two guys who hadn't touched the ball all night. So who's the tactician there? Like, who everybody loves our DC, our defense coordinator, right? But when it came down to the end, they took what we gave them, which was, you're not having Waller anymore. You know, you've embarrassed us with him, and we know you love Renfro. So here, throw it to 83, see if he can beat us. And he did, right? And so I think you're right. I think it's a depth of human problem at this point.
Oh, you can't sustain the kind of losses right they've had, especially leading up to opening day and the best team on the planet coming in here on Sunday. This is a tall task. And if they win Sunday, they resurrect things. And there's we go back to that level of expectation you've talked about, which is they have to win every week, right? They have to go on the road and win in Las Vegas in a new stadium. They have to go on the road in Denver in the thin air and beat an inferior team. I mean, Detroit next week will be like, my God, if you lost to Detroit, we'd burn the city down, right? Yeah. I don't know. That's the level of expectation that they're supposed to win every game. This is the one they're not supposed to win, though.
Yeah, I may, you know, I think these things, I don't have enough data necessarily, but I'll make one of these bold, uneducated football fan statements. But it's like, we've had all of our injuries now.
So we
get to go, you know, free the rest of the year while the other teams start having injuries. They come back to us. And by the middle of the year, we're all playing with like second and third team guys, and it's much more a level playing field. So,
well, the years the Ravens have won the Super Bowl, and I've written books, when you go back, you would look at their injury history, and 2001, the Ravens had some injuries. But if you go back to the 2013 Ravens, that, you know, they stayed healthy, and that was a big part of the 14-2 Ravens 2 years ago. Stayed healthy, right?
And yeah, it's not just the Ravens. That's every football.
Anybody that goes
to the NFL. Yeah, NFL. You know,
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We usually talk about. Do you have any deep thoughts or just football thoughts?
Yeah, no. I want to know, like, how cool is the stadium? Like, how weird was it being in Vegas in that stadium? The stadium looked, it showed well on TV. I mean, it showed well last year, but there weren't any people. But it looked,
you know,
like
what? They're all the same to me. Like, yeah. They're different structurally. But the Atlanta Dome, the Minnesota Dome, this dome, you know, they're all Dallas. Yeah. This looks like Dallas to me, just not as big. They all have elevators. They all have carpet. They all spend too much on the art. You walk through and you're like, did they really need the Evel Knievel $12,000 piece of art here on the wall, or the Celine Dion? I mean, that's the thing about the Dallas Dome that Jerry was going, we're going to have art. We're going to have art here in Texas, down in Dallas, where we have awful people, but we have art. And then they did Minnesota. Minnesota has like all of this Prince stuff and purple stuff and pirate Viking skull and all that. the Vegas thing you can imagine. I mean, there's the Wynn over there. There's the Bellagio over there. It's all been done before. Yeah. They decided to have a giant Al Davis thing, this Olympic torch.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, that thing, I've been to the hockey games. I've skated the Stanley Cup there. Their homage to Vegas as being tacky Golden Knights, that thing that they do that it's almost like medieval times. So they do that thing a little bit on the hockey side. On the football side, I don't know. It just felt like a football game to me. We walked around the whole circumference of the stadium. It's nice, but they all are. And I think if you walked through any of them, you'd smell the money dripping from them and the newness.
SoFi is pretty crazy as well, right? Like SoFi, the one out in LA.
That looks weird. That looks outside. It's structurally different.
It's like a spaceship. Yeah. But I do find it interesting. I don't know whether Vegas is upset with LA or not, but so what do you think about having DJs at the game? Like, is that apparently is the new thing? Cause LA had a DJ and then Las Vegas had a DJ.
That's not new though. No, they've been doing that. Like, look, I'll get into this with you. You're going to game Sunday or you're not?
No.
You stop going to games.
Kind of. It's not conducive to my life at this point.
Expand upon that, because like, and this isn't personal. This is not going. Guess who else isn't going, Bill? So I know it's been 26 years. I sit in the same seat, or at least I did until this week, in the front row in section 513. And the people behind me, I'm the one that sold all those PSLs. I sold every PSL in section 513. I sold most of them in 512 and some of them in 514 back in 96. And then in 98, we move into the new stadium. We all get our new seats and we sit down. And the one thing I would say being on the radio is Nasty Nestor at the turn of the century in the first 15 years of this century, it was the same people. Right. It was church.
Right.
Hi, Tom. Sure. Hi, sure. Bill. Hi, Joe. Hi, Lee. Hi, everyone. What's going on, Russ? You know, people I know, turn around, wave, and say, hey, Brandon Marr, how are you? Tom, how's everything good? How's Hannah? Good. Hey, Pat. Hey, how's your daughter, Mara? Good. Hey, meet you after the section. You know, I knew everybody in my section.
Sure.
Now, when I sit in my section and I go behind my section, there's 8 or 10 of us left that say hello, right, going to the bathroom during the 15 minutes when we're back getting a drink or kibitzing, whatever we're doing. I don't know what happened to it. The tailgates where you went with the same people every week and the only thing that changed was the menu. And this week it's ribs and next week it's beef. And then the following week we're going to do crabs and then we're going to bring beef stew and we're going to do our special lamb chops. This is all I talked about the first 20 years of the franchise on the radio and experiencing it and getting out of bed and going over there at some point. And I actually thought about this the other day, cause I thought about David Modell and how I'm treated by the Ravens and how he and Art would roll over, the experience and the way it was experienced was because of David, right? David Modell came on this air and said many, many times, we have to have tailgating. Do you remember tailgating was illegal here? Do you remember that? A lot of people, kids would never remember that, right? This is like Footloose telling kids about this, Bill. The 2 o'clock games and the churches and Memorial Stadium. The kids don't know, but tailgating was illegal. Right. Like dancing in Footloose, like literally, right? You couldn't do it because of law.
Analogy.
And David fought to make the tailgating. I had John Zeman on last week, the band, you know, all the things that are going to make the Raven walk and, you know, the fight song, all of these cheerleaders, all that. I don't know. You know, I don't know what people that go to the game want other than the game itself. I mean, I've been going to games since Memorial Stadium. My dad, I don't need television replays and crab games and shell games and don't be a jerk. I like football. I like going to the games. I like being there. I like the action. I like the vibe. But I don't know why people stopped going. And I think everyone has a reason. It might be price, right? Like, give me your deal, because the fans have changed so much here. And that's Sunday night would be like opening day of baseball season. Like everybody that owns the PSL is usually in the seat because they're playing the Chiefs. It's the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
This would be the one game you'd go to if you only were going to go to one.
I mean, my life is about 8 and 11 year old soccer. And, you know, I mean, it just, those are the priorities. And, you know, work ties me up enough during the week that it's really hard. Back in the day when it was like church, you know, I mean, me and my guys I went to high school with, like, you know, we would start at 7 a.m. and
now those guys, how many of them are there?
I mean, I don't know. It probably was 6 to 10 in,
all
in the
alive?
Beginning.
All still
in the
alive?
Beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, sure. Good. Okay. How many of them go?
You know, maybe one or two.
1 out of 10? That's really
something
dude,
like
that's
that.
That's
right?
Shitty
like,
math. That's bad,
it's not
bad
even,
math.
It's not even like, the same guy, right? Like, so like this week, this guy goes to that game, and then 2 weeks later, somebody else goes to a game. So, but they're all in the same place too. They all got little kids and they're running around all weekend, travel soccer and all that good stuff.
So if it's not for us anymore, and I say us, I'm 52 and I don't have anywhere to be but the game. The game's still the most important thing I do around here, Baltimore Positive, ask my community. I ran into a ticket broker. I'm gonna leave him out of this at the game the other night, right? So, by the way, Cole Roofing, Gordiana Jack, I have my Cole Roofing mug here. You gave me the new mug. I prefer the old mug. It's getting a little scratched up, but I like it. You know, so
that's fine. You know.
So I was thinking about this with the people that don't go, whether it's financial, whether it's I moved to Jarrettsville or I moved to the Eastern Shore or my wife doesn't want to go and our finances are different or my kid, in my case, my kid's 37 years old. I really believe when the team was stolen and brought here when my son was 11, that it was for life. And I had the PSLs and I thought one day he'll be married. One day he'll be 37. One day I'll be a grand. No, I won't be a grandparent, but he'll want the tickets. My kid went to every game in 96, 7, 8, 9. The last 15 years, he watches on TV like everybody else, and he knows what the stadium looks like, and he knows the vibe, and he knows how good the view is and how pretty the jerseys look on the Chiefs, how red those helmets are going to be on Sunday night. He don't want to go. Right. And he played football, and he likes football, and he likes me, but he just don't want to go. And my ticket broker buddy was at the game the other day, and he talked about how many PSLs he's relinquished and given back. I gave my original two back up in the seventh row. And I wonder, like, and he said to me, they just think there's going to be more fans. They just think more people are going to come and just fill in the tickets. And now I go on Facebook and I see them trying to sell me tickets on Facebook every single day. I'm getting buy single game tickets, single game tickets. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the community expects from the football team. Because they're not going to go 14-2 every year. They're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. The level of expectation has been far more than met in regard to, well, in regard to what's going on in the other place, right? You can see the juxtaposition of what the Orioles and the Ravens have been, and the Ravens have been so successful yet, you know, I don't, it ain't like it used to be. And I'm going to be examining that all year as to why it ain't like it used to be. And I guess nine of your buddies have nine different reasons they don't go anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Price. Let's start with price.
Yeah, well, let me go.
What else could I do with $280 this Sunday?
I'm going to preface the whole conversation with, not unlike in 20, 21 remains a pandemically frictioned life, right? So right off the bat, some percentage of the population aren't going because they don't want the COVID, right?
Fair.
And that's a different, that's just one other variable, right?
So that would be the thing for why people aren't going right here, right now. But I'm talking about the people like my kid that just went away and have no intention of, and they love the Ravens. They're a fan, but they're never going to buy a ticket.
I just think it's such, I don't know. What do you think the numbers look like for those like day long, like back in the day, it was the HFS Festival or the Tibetan Freedom
Festival. Well, they do those on weekend now. They do this flyer fly and you get a tent.
Yeah.
You go down and live in Delaware in the mud for a couple days.
Seems like that's still a thing and people still do that. I don't know if those people would do it 8 out of the next 17 weeks, you know?
One of the things about football that I experienced, and I love football and I've traveled everywhere, is that it became like church, right? It was a place you went, you sat in the same seat, doing the same thing, parked in the same place. And you could do that for a long time. And that's called a tradition, right? You know, we love tradition in this country, right? But then there comes a point where you need variety. And that's where, let's go see the Ravens play in Charlotte. Let's go see the Ravens play in, you know, Buffalo, you know, New England. Let's go to a different place. And I had people say to me, well, instead of going to all the home games, I decided to go to 2 of the road games and see Detroit and see Denver. I've heard all of that, but I do think that one of the problems is their own, not success, but when Ray Lewis stopped dancing, I think that changed everything about having a ticket for the game and going to the game and how it felt to be at the game, that moment where Ray dances and we're going to kick your ass, you know, and that doesn't happen anymore.
That is so real, right? Like Ray dances and 78,000 people are about to kick your ass. That is like, just, we should make a t-shirt about that.
Well, if I were to have
that is the feeling,
players
right?
on of that era, and I said to every one of them, tell me where you were when you entered the Raven Stadium in 2007. When you came in and everyone, I remember Pagano talking about this when he went on the other side with the Colts. He's like, I told everybody, just don't look at him. Just don't even, you don't want to watch this part of the show.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that it is such a heavy lift, right? And maybe part of the problem is that we've connected tailgating to the game, right? So I can't just drive down, park somewhere, pop in the stadium, go for 4 hours.
It's an all-day
hours.
Commitment.
Day, right? And you got to, you know, you don't want to show up down there empty-handed, and you got to figure out where you're going to park. And so maybe that is some friction for people.
I always felt like the tailgate thing felt like a lot of work because I did it. I mean, I did tailgates. I did parties. I packed coolers. I still every day of my life. Right, I was at Vegas airport at 4 a.m. A guy comes up, hey, Nasty, went on your trip to Cleveland years ago. I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on? You know, you're going with Brian now. Let him, you know.
One of the things I will always remember about professional sports, which is using that term loosely here, is like the first time you go to an Aberdeen Ironbirds game. Like that experience of pulling your car up, you know, maybe 50, 75 yards from the door, walking in, not really any crowds, go getting something to eat, sitting down in a nice seat, watching a mildly okay baseball game. Like it was just so easy and nice. It was a very different experience than, you know, any other professional sport. And in this town,
all of us would say that about like the Black Crows are playing next Wednesday down at whatever they call that monstrosity down at Bull Run in Manassas, right? If that shows at Merriweather, I'm there. If that shows down there, maybe not so much. People feel that way about concerts at the hockey rink in DC. I don't want to go in and deal with all that. I mean, there is the ease of, I mean, look at what I dealt with in Las Vegas. I had to go get an app, I had to have a clear, I had to have a test. I had to, you know, you had to do all the process now of going to the game is, to your point, maybe not tonight. I don't feel like doing all that, you know, especially when it's cold outside waiting to get in line. I'm not talking COVID. I'm talking about over the last 10 years. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. As far as the football thing goes, are you involved in the flow of it in regard to watching the Steelers and the Bills and watching the Chiefs and the Browns and other things? I mean, it feels to me like when football kicks off, if you are that person, whether it's you got a pool car, you're a gambler, you're fantasy football, whatever that level of engagement is, it was a good first weekend, and it does sort of mark it's fall.
Absolutely.
There's something normal in this era of everything not being normal that I appreciate about. We got a game this week, and we got a game next week, and there's a game after that, and it feels like society here, at least in Baltimore, sort of falls in line around this a little bit over the last generation.
I would agree. I mean, for me, it's like kind of that ramp up, like on Saturday, you catch some part of some, you know, highly traditional pomp and circumstance college football game.
Like, right? When Ohio State loses or something.
Yeah. And it just like it gives you a little shot, like, oh yeah. Okay. And I tell you, I did appreciate, like, clearly we have figured out a way to eliminate the COVID on all college campuses, because it is totally acceptable to put 100,000 screaming people in a bowl stadium and have at it. So that's wild, right? Like, I'm looking and look, I'm happy for them kids. They went to that school because that was what they wanted from their experience, and they didn't get to have it last year, and they get to have it now. So I'm happy for them, but that gets you going on Saturday. And yeah, I mean, I got to watch more football on Sunday than I probably should have. And it was fun, you know, and I mean,
I love football. I mean, I think it's, especially right. When it's taken away, and it was taken away last year in that way.
Give me a break. I mean, I called my friend in Rochester and I just gave him a raft because, you know, it's like, come on, man, really? I mean, I figured I would have to try and beat you guys later. You know, like, we'll be watching your record as the season goes on because we're worried about you, because I thought for sure you would handle the Steelers.
Do you think the Ravens are a playoff team? I mean, you're talking about them now like that. Like, well, I thought that last week,
yeah,
when they're going to be 0-2 on Monday morning, probably.
Yeah, I mean, probably not, because like one or two more bad things are going to happen, and that'll probably be what breaks the back. You know, the fact that our team is still centered around the run game and playing good defense and running backs. Yes, there's a difference between the great ones and the mediocre ones, but I think you can still do what we do with mediocre ones, because it's really just, look, if you get 4 yards and you do that 3 times, we're moving the chains. And then every now and then, I mean, Lamar is amazing, right? So he breaks off a 40-yarder. Marquise Brown looked really good. Like, maybe he does that for more than 2 games through the season, and that would be exciting. I think Sammy Watkins could do some stuff, but, you know, Sammy Watkins is just a different guy that I think we've had like 12 of them that are, you know.
I just hope he's not Jeremy Maclin. I'm hoping more Steve Smith and less Maclin, right, for me.
I appreciate the
little
fact
Mike Wallace
that,
in there.
Right. I appreciate the fact that Willie still thinks he's a Raven and booted that ball off his head so that we wouldn't lose on that play. Like, so I, you know,
it was an exciting game.
It was
3.5 hours of pure entertainment, and in Las Vegas, yeah, Bill Cole is here. He is a Cole Roofing and Gordy Energy. Tell everybody what you do on roofs. And by the way, thank you for the Accelerant invite last week. You gather leaders together and change your speech right before you go on. And I saw how nervous you were last week. Like, you had moved your speech, and I thought you could have rehearsed on me. I would have given you the papal blessing that it was a good speech you gave.
Yeah, it was. It's not nervous in talking to the people. Part of it is like, where's my card that says I'm qualified to like tell people what I think at that point? Like, why? If you really want to know what I think, all you got to do is ask me, right? Like, I don't know that I'm qualified to drop knowledge.
See, I look at it. I did a lot of church as a young guy. All right. Right. So I went to Our Lady Fatima, and there was a sermon, you know, in the middle of the church. Yeah. I figure, like, what if I were put in your role, and I'm a public speaker, and I would be a little nervous. So we're going to gather with 200 strange folks here. I know some of them. They're all business, black, white, young, old, everybody in different circumstance. What's the one thing I could do for breakfast to force people to think a little differently, right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to give a nugget or something that's topical around everyone that brings us all together, right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to say grace, essentially.
And and you're doing that, like, if you've been going to them long enough, like Marianne Scully from Howard Bank used to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. So, yeah. Right. So the standard is pretty high. And then
were you there for Jack Skeen's
leadership? Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
They were really good.
Yep.
No offense to Mary, but Jack's weren't better, but they were directed differently.
Sure. Marianne always told me a story about history that I didn't know. So
Jack was more like a Tony Robbins, psychological thinking about things a little differently. Marianne was more, it's a beautiful morning. We're all, let's feel good this morning. You know, that's what it was. You, not so much. Let's be real. We can't feel too good. We all have masks on, right?
I know. There's a professional speaker who's about to go on stage who does this for a living.
Who's really good, by the way.
He was really good. There's another business leader, CEO, that's going to say something too. And here I am, you know, and with like...
I thought your speech was better than Hartman's, and you could tell him that.
with 9/11 being there. And all the things that are sort of just circling around us. If you served, it's totally okay for you to use those lessons to teach people about.
Here's something I learned.
Right.
Right.
And I think there's lots of good stuff, right? Like, I think lots of smart people have built the systems that are in our military. So we shouldn't just offhand not be willing to implement those, like, they're good practices. I just have,
especially the part where you take the commander in chief who's out of his freaking mind and you call the Chinese and you say, don't drop the bomb. We're not dropping the bomb. Ignore that guy. Mm-hmm. So that we learned that this week too, that was military.
So I just have a very hard time. There's lots of similarities, and you can draw these pictures and you can tell stories that are similar and da, da, da. And like, I love reading about history. I'm reading another one about George Washington and the American Revolution. You know, like, I love that stuff because it's just so crazy to think about. Like, we have patriotism because we've grown up in this country. Like, it wasn't a country. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anything. It was
sure what they were fighting for.
Exactly. Like it was worth it, but what is it? And they still, there's a lot there, and it's fun to make. Like, part of that story is when we started to form the Continental Army, we didn't have any experienced leaders, right? Like, we don't have anybody to just sort of fill out the whole system, right?
And it's not like people are putting their resumes in. They have muskets.
Right. So we would find these guys who, either charismatic leader, wealthy farmer, fought in the French and Indian War, had a little experience, whatever. We would find these people. And then we would say, hey, why don't you be a corporal or whatever the thing is? And they're like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Oh, by the way, I need you to go find, 20 guys to be in your unit, because there wasn't any guys. So that guy would go, to like the 20 guys from his little village that he knows. He knows their wives. He knows their kids. You know, they helped him build the barn last winter.
And we're going to take guns and go fight the British.
Yeah. Come on, Bob. I need your help.
Let's go fight the queen.
Fight with me.
Yeah.
Of course I will. Knowing full well, looking at his kids as he takes their dad to go off and fight against the greatest army that the world knew, that those concepts are just, we think our lives hard. We think we have tough decisions to make. Give me a break.
They didn't have running water.
Right.
Or electricity.
So there's lots of fun stuff there to tell. But at that in the morning, I did not think it was my place, and I did not feel comfortable using any kind of military lesson, to tell a story. And it just, it was fine. I always get comments about how much they appreciate how genuine it is. And I'm like, well, if you don't write anything down and you don't practice anything, it's pretty much guaranteed to be genuine. Whether it's any good or not, I can't promise that. But
I like that you work note card free. You know, I told the story about my wife's speech after her first leukemia battle down in Annapolis, because we were down there last week. And I said, man, she had note cards. I said, Don Mueller would have been proud. I am not a note card guy. I work without a net. That's just kind of, if I have notes, it'll screw my speech up looking at them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not what I do. All right. You ready for football? You're, you know, this is
sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sunday Night Football, the Ravens and the Chiefs. We'll be talking football all week long. Bill Cole and I talk about life and running businesses and the state of business and COVID. You can find him and find the solar power at Cole Roofing and at Gordian Energy. I will see you next week. I hope the Ravens aren't 0-2. It'll have us talking about politics again. We wouldn't want to do that, would we?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Could be more exciting. You never know what happens in the news cycle. Thanks, Des. I appreciate it, man. Always.
Heal the world. Make it a better place. You can find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm usually wearing a Costas in shirt, as I am right now on our YouTube channel. We're going to be at Costas on Friday with Johnny O, celebrating 50 years of Costas, celebrating our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And then on Sunday, I'm going to have the first time ever Wise Signature Crab Cake out at the Fullerton store. It's the one across from Tully's, Bel Air Road in the Beltway. Come on out to Wise Sunday morning, 11 to 2. Have a lunchtime crab cake with me. That's two more crab. It's two crab cakes in 3 days this weekend. I'm going to get the crab imperial at Costas this weekend. I'm off the crab cake this Friday. Let Johnny O have the crab cake. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Luke is in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens. All that brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. I'm Nestor. This is WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.